Good evening. Welcome to the first concert of Augusta 1994. I'm Bill Payne. I'm the events coordinator here at the program. And this is a series of storytelling concerts that we have been doing for some years. We started having public concerts like this last year in the auditorium, and from the response, it looks like you all like it too, so we're glad you're here. And this evening, we're going to feature a lot of entertainment coming from two folks from Western North Carolina area, Bobby McMillan and Marina Trivett. They both come from the area of Western North Carolina. Bobby says actually he learned stories from his relatives, Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee. And he started telling these stories and learning these old ballads by the time he was 12 years old. He's been singing these songs and telling these stories for some years. A lot of them came from his family, and some of these tales are ancient. I was happened to catch a bit of a story he told this afternoon in some of the talk he gave, and these stories go back, some of them way back to our ancestors in Europe, his ancestors in Europe. And Marina comes from a family of storytellers as well as fiddlers and banjo pickers, and all this culture, all this information, the stories and the songs all come from their heritage and their family, and they're very good at sharing them with you. I know you're going to enjoy them very much. They're going to sing some songs and some ballads and tell some stories, maybe some funny ones, maybe some scary ones. Bobby tells me also that he's got a recording. Actually, they're both on a sampler coming out maybe next month, and he's going to have another recording available in September, so you might catch him this week and ask him about how you can get a copy of those. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any here in the store. But I know you're going to really enjoy these two, so please welcome Marina and Bobby.
It's good to be out here with all of you tonight. I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And the last time I was here, I came along with some friends from up in Madison County, North Carolina. And this time I've brought my singing partner with me, and also a good storyteller too, Marina Trivett. Her family comes from the Blue Ridge Mountains of Western North Carolina. And her father, who just recently died, was a banjo picker and guitar player and has sung songs all of his life. So she grew up around a lot of music. And I did too. I learned songs and stories from my father's people since I was a child. And as I grew up, I began learning them from my relatives and the friends and neighbors that I had and the people that I got acquainted with up in the western part of North Carolina and the eastern part of Tennessee. And if you draw a geographical circle, that includes also a part of southwestern Virginia, the edge of Kentucky, and down in the northern parts of Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama. So this is a heritage that we're proud to present. It's a lifestyle that people lived at one time that is rapidly vanishing. If it weren't for the efforts of institutes and colleges like Davis and Elkins, a lot of this would be lost forever. But fortunately, many of the ballads, the songs, the stories, the fiddle tunes, the banjo tunes have been preserved over the years. And of course, we grew up around a lot of fiddling and banjo playing, but tonight we're going to present to you an even older tradition, probably, because it goes back so many hundreds of years to northwestern Europe. And I probably shouldn't apologize, but I have a little scratchy throat, so I may have to sing a little bit softer than usual tonight. But Marina's going to take care of a lot of the songs that we do, and I'm going to try to cover a good deal of the stories. But the first thing that I want to play for you is one, it's a song. And the old-timers in our part of the South, and I assume it was probably true in at least parts of West Virginia, they called ballads love songs, the old-timers did. It didn't matter if they were about to ship sinking or trains wrecking or girlfriends and boyfriends cutting their guts out or hearts or whatever. If they weren't religious, they were called love songs. So I'm going to sing you one, and I don't know how much love is in it, but this is about a farmer that had an awful, awfully contrary wife. And I learned this when I was about 14, I guess, first from a friend of mine from up in the Longhope Mountain section of Watauga County, North Carolina. And this is about the old farm. I won't tell you the name because most of the old timers didn't have titles to the songs. They just sang them or gave you the first line as a title. There was an old man lived under the hill. If he ain't moved away, he's living there still. Sing fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie-day. Well, he hitched up his horse and he went out to plow. How he got around, I don't know how. Sing fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie-day. Well, the devil, he come to the man at his gate, says, one of your family I'm going to take. Sing fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie-day. Well, the old man cried, I am undone, he's come to take my oldest son. Sing fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie, diddle-lie-day. Well, it ain't your son that it won't today, but the old stolen woman I'll take away. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Take her on, Mr. Devil, with a joy in my heart, and I hope to God that you never shall part. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. So he put her up in an old tow sack, and he looked like a camel with a hump on its back. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. He toted her down to the forks of the road, says, get down, old lady, you're a hell of a load. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Then he packed her off to the gates of hell, says, punch up the far, boy, start your well. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Long come a little devil a-dragging up a chain. She pulled off her slipper and dashed at its brain. Sang fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Seven more little devils come a-climbing up there. She up with her foot and kicked six in the far. Sang fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Five more little devils come a-scooting down the wall. Says, take her back, pal, before she kills us all. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Well, it's what to do with her, I cannot tell. She ain't fit for heaven and she won't do for hell. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. One day the old man were a-peeping through the crack. The old devil come a-wagging her back. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Here's your wife, she's sounding well. I tell you what's more, she's tore up hell. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. So I've been the devil about all of my life, but I've never been in hell till I met your wife. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. She is 7 years a-going and seven a-coming back. She chawed on the backer that she left in the crack. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Well, one day the old man was sick in the bed. She up with a butter stick and paddled his head. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. Well, the old man cried, I surely am cursed. She been down to hell and she's come back worse. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. The old man went skipping on over the hill. Says the devil won't ever be damned if I will. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. I'll tell you what a woman can do. She can outdo the devil and her old man too. Fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie-day. There's just three things that the devil can't drive. Hogs and a woman and bees to the hive. Sing fi-diddle-lie-diddle-lie, ba-diddle-a-diddle-a-day. Well, this shows that the women have advantage over men. They can go down to hell and come back again. Sing fa-diddle-a-diddle-a, fa-diddle-a-diddle-a-day.
Thank you.
So I reckon he finally got shit to her, as the old timers would say. I'm going to let Marina sing one now. And I learned this from several older women in my family and an older friend of mine who sang it. And the mountain women sang a lot of these ballads in their personal lives. They didn't express too much sentiment about whether, you know, they had missed out on things in life. They didn't have many choices in the old days. And I'm proud to say that the old Appalachian women helped carry the burden. My grandmother helped raise me and my grandfather, and I'm very proud of them. I still have them. They're very old and sickly now, but they're probably the reason that I'm sitting here today. If they hadn't shown me love without having to say it in words in my childhood and as I growed up, and in not trying to steer me in a course that I didn't want to be forced into, I naturally followed after the things of their lives, and that's what started me into learning these different things. But the women had a hard burden, and this song I think reflects it, and perhaps some of the older mountain women express some of their griefs and sorrows through their songs. But this is called The Wagoner's Land.
Controlled by their peril.
wives to their husbands for the rest of their lives. All on yonder's mountain, my love's castle stands, all dressed in green ivy. At the bottom of each, sweet oceans do run, sweet instruments of music, midst the firing of guns. Its heart is a fortress of all woman.
Raina, that's good. Are you going to say anything tonight?
Probably not.
Well,
you usually talk enough for both of us.
After I tell everybody, my throat's a little bit sore, and then you ain't even going to talk to them a little bit.
As much as you talk today at the class, ain't no wonder your throat's sore.
Well, you can't tell stories without talking. It's the best I can tell. Well, I'm going to tell them a tale right now, and I did have one in mind, but When you like to hear tales as good as I did, you can't always get one out for thinking of a better one, or one you think's better just about the time you get ready to tell another one. We had all kinds of stories to listen to when I grew up. That's one reason that I always try to tell the stories in the same way that I learned them. Now, when you set up here on a stage, you can't tell them in context with the way in which you grew up with your cousins or brothers or sisters and neighbors and friends, but they can be told like you heard them. And all the storytellers that I grew up around and got to know in my lifetime, they told them just like something that happened every day. And some of them were real stories, and other stories, people tend to think they at home they'd say they stretched their blanket a little bit. That's when they're telling what most people know as fish tales. Up in the mountains, they also call them bear tales, and it's the same kind of a story as a fish tale, but some of them are true. There were a lot of hunting tales, and I thought maybe I'd just tell you something from real life tonight that really happened. I guess it's been 4 or 5 years ago now, my first cousin and I were going to go deer hunting up in the fall when there's a season on deer to hunt with a muzzle-loading rifle. And so he had got a hold of one. I don't know where it was at. It wasn't the family rifle. I don't know what became of it. But we'd made it up to go hunting. And now he lives over in the mountains up near the Roan Mountain and Mount Mitchell up in the western part of North Carolina in the high mountains in there. And Toe River goes down through the mountains enters Tennessee through a gorge in which it becomes known later as the Nolichucky. It's not too far from there to where Davy Crockett was born. Well, there's a good gorge down in there, and the mountains are high all around it, and good woods and coves, a lot of wildlife. It's a bear sanctuary most of the time, and deer. But the season was open, and we were going to go one Saturday morning. And I was staying at the time with my granny and grandpap over in Lenore, about an hour and a half away. And as I was driving on towards my cousin Mike's house, he had been called in to work a half a day, and so I didn't know it when I got there, but he had left the gun with his wife for me to take, and she said, "Here, you take the gun, go on down the river," and Mike said he'd catch up with you after dinner sometime, just wait down there. So I said, "Well, that's all right." But now what I didn't know was that before he went to work that morning, he'd loaded the gun for me. He wasn't sure whether I knew how to use a muzzle loader, and this one, it wasn't a flintlock, it was it worked on the cap. So when the hammer come forward, it bursts that cap, which makes a spark and the gun shoots. So Mike is sort of a thrifty person. He doesn't overdo too much of anything. And he'd put a neat little charge in there. So you have packing to put in there and powder, and your bullet goes in there. Well, she gave me the gun, but she failed to tell me that he had loaded it. So I think she just didn't know, which is why she didn't tell me. I'd hate to find out she did know in the light of what happened later. But I took the gun and I got in the truck and went down the river as far as I could get in the four-wheel drive and got out. And I did, and I put me some pretty good boots on in case I needed to wade the river. It's not real deep in all the places. Sometimes it spreads out. And you get in them gorges down in there and you see the river winds around and there's ridges up above. And sometimes you can take what we call a nigh cut. That's like saying a short way. Across a ridge and come out way down the river a mile or two below where you'd go if you just followed it all the way around. Sometimes the wind will blow through there like a big funnel and it'll just roar. The wind will be so loud. And I decided when I got out of the truck, though, that I'd load up the gun. Well, I'll tell you, and it's the truth now, where Cousin Mike's thrifty, I tend to overdo it just a little bit. Now, I might do something all wrong, but I won't do it half wrong. It's going to be all wrong or nothing. And so rather than just putting me a neat little charge in there, his was so fine that I poured mine in. I was excited. I just poured the powder to it. I mean, I packed it in there tighter than Dick's hat band. And I should have known that there was a shoot in the gun, but I just exuberant, I reckon, that it just failed to catch my notice. So I lit out down the river looking for deer sign, and I got down there to a place, it was off of rocky and bluffy in there. There's a big rock cliff there close to the river. And I hadn't had no luck, and I hadn't seen any deer, found no sign. And I thought, I looked across the river, and over there on the other side, there was a cove that opened up right at the river. And the trees came out just to the edge of the water. There's a little beach there, sand. And I thought, now over there I'll have better luck. So I was just a-fixing to wade out in the water when the biggest buck deer come out in the woods on the other side of the river that I ever seen in my life. Oh, he's a big one, and he had a rack of horns on his head. I counted about 16 pints from where I was at, and the shade from the trees was on him partly, and I couldn't catch them all. So I thought, boys, now there is the master deer. And I got my gun up, and I had the bead drawed on him. And just as I was about to fire, I noticed a bunch of limbs a-shaking on the tree growing out by the bank of the river. And I just looked up to see what it was, and there's a big broad limb growed out on the upper side of it. It's a big sycamore tree. And they was about six of them there birds that comes from overseas, other side of Canada, over in China, I think. Ringneck pheasants. Sitting on the limb there, and I never had seed but one in the whole state of North Carolina in my life up to then, and there was six, and I guess I got a little greedy. I was thinking, boy, I'd love to have them birds and that deer too, but I didn't have time to study about it for long. This rock rolled over my foot, and when I looked around to see what it was, it wasn't Marina. It was two bear cubs over there playing in the rocks, and they were just as pretty as all get out. And it'd been nice to just to ood and odd at them, but you don't see something like that too much out in the wild woods with what you don't see the mammy around somewhere. And that wind was a-blowing. I couldn't hardly hear her, but boys, I heard her roar. She'd probably spied me before I even caught sight of that deer. I heard her roaring, and I looked around, and coming out of the holler right behind me, she's a-coming down there on all fours. And when she got down on the level, up she reared, and what they'll do, the bears will do like that, and they'll come at you on their hind legs. And she's about that far from me, just about that fur, and she's about ready to slap my head about halfway across the river. Well, now, all my life I've heard people say that, well, if this happened to me or that, I'll do this or I'll do that. And I know I'd do that. You can't tell me that I wouldn't do that. I'd do that very thing. So I've always took that with a grain of salt, and I proved it that time, because I am one that can mortally take wings and fly when I get scared enough. And that bear scared me enough. But my feet were stuck there to the ground and absolutely would not take me where the rest of my body wanted to go. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have time to think. I didn't have time to turn around and take aim and shoot her. And if I'd have thought, maybe I could have jumped in the river and gotten a channel and hopefully God would wait. She'd have waited right out there. The only thing that crossed my mind was the words, fire the gun, fire the gun, fire the gun. So I thought I was too panic struck to know that if I fired the gun, maybe it would balk her, sort of stall her for a second and I could light a rag out of there. So what I did was, she's coming up here on me that fast, I just slung the gun barrel over my shoulder, didn't have time to do nothing else. And I guess she's about nose to nose with the gun barrel when I got it there. And folks, I just didn't know that there was two shoots in that gun. When I pulled the trigger, it had to go somewhere. Pow! Buddy, she blowed up right in that bear's face. The barrel split and killed her dead where she stopped. And that hammer flew up in the air and split the limb that them pheasants is a-setting on, and it caught the spurs in it when it shot back, and the stock of that gun just flew plumb across the river from the impact. It splintered that deer to death. Yeah, it did. And the explosion just threw me down there, and of course there's a big hole in the river. And I come crawling out of there, a gagging and a coughing, about to puke. I climbed up on a rock there and went to let the water out of my boots, and 50 trout fell out of each boot. And I thought to myself, well, Mike will be down here before long, but I reckon this is a fair day's hunting. Thank you. And that was the gospel truth, and you can go home and tell everybody I said it was. Just like they'll believe you. Marina, would you object if I suggested a song to you? Or did I do that the other time?
Now go ahead, suggest.
Well, I keep thinking of all these goodies, and I want you to hear all that you can in the time that we have. This one especially, I have always liked. I love, of course, most all the stories that I heard growing up. But unless you have grown up in a rural area, in a place where there's a lot of woods, it's hard to understand the feelings that a person has in growing up. Everything from dogs howling to the wind blowing, you don't always know what's out there. And of course, mountain people had a lot of the characteristics of their ancestors that went across northwestern Europe several thousand years ago. And that wanderlust endured when they came over here. And living out in the mountains and in the woods, and where you can hear water run, there's nothing like hearing a stream that fusses, as they say. At nighttime, you can listen to it. It's peaceful. And this time of year, you can hear the katydids, as my father called them, or the chatteracks, as my grandfather on my mother's side called them, and listen at them. And I learned it over the process of the years to love it all. And that's one thing that gave color to the stories and to the ballads that I learned, because not everybody knew them the same way. And a lot of them went harking back to the old country, because that's where a lot of them came from. And you know, when our ancestors came here, a great many of them came with the expectation that they would find their fortune, gather it up, and later go home. And of course, they never did. So that separation sort of gave them a poignancy and loneliness that they've passed along for about 7 or 8 generations. And this song is one that they brought with them, and I learned it up in Madison County, North Carolina, close to where my mother's family hail from. And Marina sings it about the best of anybody that I've ever heard. And I'll tell her what it is now. It's called, I call it Young Emily. That's the way I learned it, but she may call it Young Emily. And it tells what happened on the count of riches.
Song. It shall be told the love of God. return his fortune for to show. The gold he gained while in the main down in the lowlands low. The gold he gained while in the main down in the lowlands low. Father runs a public house all on yon river side. Go ye go there and enter in this night with me abide. Go ye go there and enter in this night with me abide. Be sure ye tell them nothing nor let my parents know. Your name it is young Edmund who drove in the lowlands low. Your name it is young Edmund who drove in the lowlands low. Young Edmund fell to drinking until he went to bed. He did not know a sword that night would part his neck and head. Oh, he did not know a sword that night would part his neck and head. Young Emily laying in a chamber, she had an awful dream. She dreamed she saw young Edmund's blood go flowing like a stream. She dreamed she saw young Edmund's blood go flowing like a stream. Young Emily arose in the morning, a-putting on her clothes. Oh, I'm going to find my driver boy who drove in the lowlands low. Oh, I'm going to find my driver boy who drove in the lowlands low. Oh, Father, where's that driver boy who lay last night with me? He's gone to dwell, no tongue must tell, and his body's in the sea. He's gone to dwell, no tongue must tell, and his body's in the sea. Die a public show for the murdering of young Edmund who drove in the lowlands low. For the murdering of young Edmund who drove in the lowlands low. Oh daughter, oh dear daughter, don't talk so wild and free. His gold is all for us to claim, and all for you and me. His gold is all for us to claim, and it's all for you and me. Away then to some counselor to let the deed be known of the murdering of young Edmund who drove in the road alone. Of the murdering of young Edmund in the road alone. Them coaches up on the mountain are swinging to and fro. They remind me of my driver boy who rode in the road alone. They remind me of my driver boy who drove in the road alone. Thank you.
fish swim o'er his breast. His body's in a gentle motion, and I hope his soul's at rest. His body's in a gentle motion, and I hope his soul's at rest.
It doesn't matter how many times I hear that song, when it gets to the part about the coaches on the mountain, the old-time members of the family that sang that always said his coats that hangings on, what?
You take your hand off your microphone.
I thought something was a little crawling up my neck. They would talk about the, I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, they said them coats that hang on the mountain, they look so blue and true. And us younger folks would get tickled in life and think, what in the heck is a coat doing hanging on the mountain? And how could a coat look blue and true? We thought maybe it was a Yankee coat or something like that. But then the visualization of the boyfriend in the water and the fish is swimming over him, that's just about too much in one song. Marina?
Some of them bells are too much. All they talk about is murdering and killing and
the devil
like
getting
that.
After somebody. Well, that's the way it happened. We called the devil the booger man when I was growing up. And as I found out that a greater part of the Appalachian South, that held true also. And a regular booger was just something you was afraid of and scared about. But Wednesday night at 11 p.m. over near Darby Hall, those of you that have seen those, there's a couple of platforms on the bank right above Darby Hall. It's directly across from the cafeteria. There's a little place where they can build a bonfire. We're going to tell booger tales for about an hour. Starting at 11 o'clock Wednesday night. You're all invited, all of you that I can't see you in the darkness in here. These lights up here black all of you out. But I hear you. You better not try to sneak up on me. We're going to be up there telling Hank tales and witch tales and booger tales. So everybody's invited to come, and you can tell your own tale if you'd like, or if you just want to listen, that's okay. Also, but we're not going to tell no booger tales tonight. I want Marina to tell you a real tale that happened in her family a long time ago to her Aunt Rosie.
I already told the Elder Hostel group this story, so maybe if they're out there, they'll listen to it again. My mother come from a family of 10 children, and they were brought up really poor, and they didn't have a whole lot. Well, we didn't have a whole lot when I was growing up either. And anyway, we had this thing called a chamber pot. And how many people knows what a chamber pot is? Okay, we called it the pea pot. Just plain and simple, that's what we called it. And
we called it something else.
Anyway, it was a pea pot. And we had to go to the little house out behind the big house. And in the dead of winter, when you had to walk out through there and the snow up above your knees, you know, it got pretty rough. Anyway, so one night, my Aunt Rose was coming over. Well, Aunt Rose, she thought she was a little bit more sophisticated than everybody else in the family. And she'd got her some of the magazines, you know, and seen pictures of these women that dolled herself up. And she fixed her hair way up high and had one of those bouffant hairdos and got her some makeup, buddy. She looked pretty good, she thought. And she'd shaved off her eyebrows, didn't have a one. And so she got her little pencil and painted her some on there. And she put on some false eyelashes and rouge. They don't sell rouge anymore. They call it blush, but if you was looking for rouge, you probably can't find it. But she put it on there like that, and buddy, she looked like something else. And buddy, she just caked on that makeup, and she thought she looked fine. Well, she come over to our house that night, and me and my brothers and sisters and some of the cousins was sitting around just playing or doing something. And when she walked through the door, we all quit what we was doing. We just looked at her, and we thought, well, you know, what is she saying? You know, she didn't say nothing. She wanted us to say, boy, you look good. But nobody didn't say anything. But Mom said, well, Rose said, come in the kitchen just a minute. Said, I need you to help me do something. So, you know, if your older sister asks you to help you do something, you're going to go do it. So Aunt Rose went in there, and Mama needed help to empty that pea pot. But Aunt Rose got down at the bottom of the steps, and Mom got at the top of the steps, and she was going to hand her that pea pot. Well, it rained just a little bit on those steps. Well, when Mama put her foot on that top step, she slipped a little bit, and that pea pot went a-sailing through the air. And guess where it landed? On top of Aunt Rose's bouffant hairdo. Well, poor old Aunt Rose, she came in the house, and she's just a-crying. You know, Mom said don't ever laugh at somebody's misfortune, but I had a hard time with that one. And she's just a-bawling, and them eyelashes that she'd put on, it fell all down through here, and her eyebrows had melted right off, and all that makeup was gone, and that bouffant hairdo had done fell. I mean, it was flat as a flitter. And poor Aunt Rose, all I could think was that she'd got her a new hat to go with that new hairdo.